Okay, Perek Beis, Shara Yichud Be'amunah Perek Beis. So last week, Baal Tanya began with the only time that the Baal Shem Tov was quoted here in Sefer Tanya, at least up until this point, which is with the vort where he says on the pasuk in Tehillim, "L'ayin Hashem Dvarcha Nitzav B'Shamayim," meaning that the Rebbeinu Shlomo's word continues to reverberate throughout creation and brings everything into existence moment by moment. It continues to create, not that the world was once created, but that it is contained, page 152, and continues to create on an ongoing basis. 152. Keep going. Right there. There you go. Okay. Now, and the yisoid that he was teaching us was that is a necessary component of a bria yesh meayin. Meaning, when we take raw silver and a human being comes along and takes it and turns it into a becher, so you're taking something and you're forming something else with it. So even if the creator of the becher, the artist, is already dead for 500 years, the becher can still continue to exist. But when you're talking about creating, not forming something, but creating something, yesh miayin, something from nothing, to use the French, ex nihilo, then you are then, to create something out of nothing, it requires ongoing creation. That's the yesod that he's saying. Therefore, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is constantly creating, and he says, not like the idea of those who are kofrim in the concept of hashgacha, Protis in each and everything. Remember, every blade of grass, due to the fact that it's created at this moment. Obviously, the Rosh is putting it in a certain place because he's creating it at this moment, and each moment anew.
It's all
deliberate because it's being created at this second. And he said, he asked the obvious question: where do we see in the ten? You're saying that everything was created by the ten statements of creation. Well, where do you see, you know, the elephant and the crocodile and the kiwi fruit in the ten statements of creation? Those things are not detailed. So he said that the Mikabalim, the Arizal, says that there are 231 methods of combining the alphabet, gematria, atbash, and so on. There's 231, and if you use all those, you really know how to look at the letters, then you can know how through each one of these creations, through each one of these statements, a different creation comes into being. And it's all right there. And people who have lechtig oigen, people who know how to see, can look at something, and rather than seeing the physical manifestation, they see the letters with which that creation was created. So now we're going on to Perek Beis. Perek Beis is actually a very fun Perek because he logically proves it. And by the way, I just wanted to take a moment out and talk about one of the ideas that Rabbi Elkan Zalgzintzain focuses on in his Pirush on this. He says that V'yadata hayom ha'shavayis alav avecha requires one to try to integrate the logical aspects of this to whatever degree possible. To try to really wrap your head. That is the mitzvah. V'hashivayis alav avecha means that this idea, ki Hashem hu adikim, v'shamayim imal v'yal eretz mitachas einoid, is an idea that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is telling us emunah is not adequate. I want you to understand this to the best of your ability. And that is a tzivui of trying your hardest to grasp this idea. Okay, and that's why he spent so much time elaborating on the concept. Perek Beis. V'ini mikan tshuvas haminim. From here, there is a response to the minim, to the apikursim, vigilui shoyrish teusam, and the revelation of the root of their error, of those who are akoyfrim b'ashgacha protis, those who are the deniers of ashgacha protis. Now, really, what he's referring to is a machlekes v'shainim, or at least appears to be a machlekes v'shainim, about whether there's something called ashgacha klolis or ashgacha protis. And the Baal Tanya takes a very, very severe position. The name, he's calling them names here, Kofrim, and minim. I mean, this is pretty severe language, and therefore you find that those like the Divrei Chaim and others who were major fans of the Rambam attempt to explain that that's not what the Rambam was saying, because it's impossible for them to imagine that the Rambam would have denied an idea that the Baal Shem Tov and Talmidim refer to with such strong language. Okay. They are deniers of Hashgacha Pratis, and in here he's not talking about them. Here he's talking about those who are denying the miracles and the wonders of the Torah. They make a mistake with their false imagination. They compare Maise Hashem, the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Oise Shemayim Va'aretz, who is the creator of heaven and earth, and they are comparing that L'maise Enosh B'tach B'loisav, and they make the error, the tragic error, of comparing the Rebbeinu Shel'Olam's creation to human industry, to human creativity, to artistic talent, and whatever other human ingenuity there could be. So he explains, Kikashi Yetzer the Tzairif Kli, when a Tzairif is a smith, creates a vessel, it's Shuvena Kli Tzorich Li Dea Tzairif. So once the smith produces the cup no longer needs the smith. The smith can be 6 feet under and the cup continues to exist. Why? Even after the smith's hands have departed from the vessel and he's walking in the street, the vessel continues to exist in its very shape and its very image, just like when it left the hands of the smith. Is kach medamin asichlim ha'elu? So these fools go ahead and compare ma'aseh shemayim v'aretz. They go ahead and say that heaven and earth are the same thing. God created the world, and then he went for a vacation. That's what they say in their foolish comparison. So he says, ach toch mero'ise ne'em. They are blinded from seeing ha-hevdil ha-godol, the tremendous distinction, shebein ma'isa enesh v'tach b'loisav, the distinction that takes place between the acts of man and his schemes, shu yesh meyesh, every human creation, he's using materials from something else. It's the famous story with the scientist, right? The scientist who challenges God and says, I can create man. So God says, go ahead. See, bends down and starts putting together dirt. So God says to him, go get your own dirt. It's all a yesh miyesh, right? It's all, he's using God's materials. Rak, the distinction of the greatest human accomplishment is shemishana hatzura v'hatmuna. He changes the image. He could change the picture, the way it looks. Mitmunas chatichas kesef. He changes it from a slab of silver, litmunas kli, to the image of a cup, or a mezuzah, or a menorah, or whatever it is. You're going to go compare that, lemaise shemayim v'aretz, to the creation of heaven and earth, shehu yesh miayin, which is creating something out of nothingness? V'upele godol yesh mekriyas yamsof. Creation of heaven and earth is even a greater wonder than the splitting of the sea. Now, why would he say that? Alderich Moshe. So he's going to use the obvious to explain the ridiculous. He's using a smaller thing to describe the greater, and he does it with great flair and creativity. Look what he does here. What took place by Kriyas Yamsav? Al Derech Moshe. Let's use the miracle of Kriyas Yamsav as a parable. The Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved the sea. Beruach kodim aza kol alayla, with a very strong wind all night long. Ve'yibaku amayim, and the sea split. Ve'natzvu k'moed neid, the waters began to pile up like a wall. Ukechayma, right? They began to pile up like a tower on a wall. And that's the miracle, the tremendous miracle of Kriyas Yom Suf. Like, water usually doesn't stand up like that. Water usually flows, right? So here the miracle happened and water stands. Now, V'ilu hifzik Hashem es haruach kirega, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped the winds from blowing even for one moment, hayu amayim chayzim, water would have gone back to their nature, which is v'nigarim b'mayrid k'darkam v'tivam. They would have crashed down with tremendous power, as they did at the end, right? Like the nature of water is. And they would not have stood up any longer like a wall. And all of this is without a doubt, right? It was the meaning. What was taking place? What was holding the water up? A miracle was holding the water against its nature. The nature of water is to flow. Here, against its nature, the water didn't flow. The water stood like a tower, right? You stop the wind from blowing for a single moment, the water will revert back to the nature of water, which is to flow, right? Rak, sheteva mayim enikein. So everybody understands what's the issue at hand. Focus on the issue. The issue is, what's the nature of water? The nature of water is to flow. It flows down, right? It goes to the lowest point. It goes to the gravity. So v'kolshken v'kal v'chomer, how much more so is it b'brias yesh miayin? What's the real nature of existence? The real nature of existence is non-existence. Right? That's the real nature of everything, is not to exist. Shilamayla me'ateva. It is above nature, right? Nature is that it shouldn't exist. Come to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. The Rebbeinu Shleilam creates something, yesh me'ayin. If water that has the nature to flow, if the Rebbeinu Shleilam makes it stand, then he were to stop it for a minute from standing, it would immediately revert back to its natural state, which is to flow. So what about when Hashem creates something out of nothing? What is its natural state? Its natural state is not to exist. That's the nature, but if Arayim, I got to create it right now. So if I'm not creating it at this moment, it just ceases to exist. Right? Look at it inside. Where are we? The water would go back to flow, and they would no longer stand like a wall, but they suffered without any doubt. He makes a very great observation. He said, what did Hashem do? At that moment, he says, you could argue that Hashem changed the nature of water. The nature of water up until this point was to flow. What Hashem did in Kriyas Yom Suf was he took the nature of water, stopped it from being a flowing matter to being like bricks, so that I'm changing the nature of water, right? Clearly, a wall of stones can stand alone without anybody doing something. The nature of water usually is not like stones, meaning it can't stand like that. Is v'kolshkin v'kal v'chomer. For sure, and how much more so is b'brias yesh miayin? If you think about it, if water, which already has some tangibility, can't continue to stack, unless the Rebbeinu Shlom is changing its nature every single moment and holding it up, how much more so is that the case when you're creating something out of nothing? It is manifold times more wondrous and greater than the splitting of the sea. How much more so is it logical that the second that the Rebbeinu Shlom takes away the creative power from any individual creation, every blade of glass, every garger of sand, every a grain of sand, every drop of dirt, every dust mole. If the Rebbeinu Shlom is not creating it at this moment, how is it existing?
Just to do it with the water itself. It has a teva, but the teva is already a gezeira.
That's what he's saying. So he had to change the teva for that moment. The minute he removed that, even that aspect of the nature of the water, it crashed down. Is if the Rebbeinu Shlom were to remove his koyach of the Creator from its creation for even a moment, is Yoshev HaNivra Li'ayin V'yefes Mamish, the creation would go back to cease to exist. What's required is that the Rebbeinu Shalom's creative power has to be a Malkala. Take the phone upstairs. Has to be constantly ongoing, creating. In Yiddish is the word Zivirken. I don't know how you say it in English. A guy named the telephone, no? So the koyach ha-poyel, the koyach ha-poyel benifel is a yesod in many areas. For instance, I'll give you the most practical day-to-day example. There's a yesod in the world of chinuch that tainted money will corrupt the education of a child. Why? Because of this yesod of koyach ha-poyel benifel, that the attitudes, the methodology, the way that it came into existence impacts the outcome. Here, what he's saying is that the nature of any creation is always going to be this yesod of koyach ha-poyel benifel will always make it that the nature of the creator is going to impact the creation to give it its existence, to bring it into existence. What is that koyach that allows it to come into existence? What are we talking about? So he says, you know what it is? What is creating all things at any given moment is the very koyach. Those words of the Asara Mamores, the letters, the words of the 10 utterances of creation, Shebehem Nivru, through which they were created, Velze Nemar, about this issue that we are discussing, namely, that creation is taking place now. To what degree? It's taking place now to the same degree as it did 5,775 years ago. Right now. Okay? It's taking place with the exact same chiddush, with the exact same renewal. There's a psalm that they tell with Reb Chaim Brisker, argued in his chiddushim, when he was giving the shir in yeshiva, that kiddushin, that marriage, is an ongoing... That the Harei At Mikudeshes Li, that a husband says to his wife, is Chal every minute. That it's a new Kiddushin every moment. So there was somebody there by the Shir who said to him, Rebbe Mazel Tov. Reb Chaim had been married at the time, 40 years. So Reb Chaim said, no, the Mazel Tov you told me then is also good. It's Nischadish. It's Nischadish every minute, right? So he's saying here that... here's what he's trying to bring out. You could see why this impacts Avodah. Because what ends up happening with everything in life is it gets stale. Okay, we take things for granted. And the reason the Rebbeinu Shlom did it in this way, of V'atem Chayas Kulim is going to say, or B'chol Mechadish B'chayim Tumayas Bereshis, is that if we somehow were able to appreciate the novelty, the newness, the chiddush of creation at every moment, right? The awe of birth, the whatever it is, whichever miracle that we get to see for the first time, right? And then it just gets old. Everything gets old. I go to these places where they have this incredible scenery, just wondrous scenery. They don't see it. It becomes mamish second nature to people. And we lose our preaching. But anyway, if we integrated this and we saw that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is mechadesh at each and every moment the newness, the chiddush of Bris Olam, then it gives us a whole different appreciation. And along with that appreciation comes hopefully the understanding of that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam put it here, as we discussed last week with the Divrei Chaim, that it's here for us to use to serve him. The Mishnah says, everything Hashem created, He created for His honor. So if there's something here and it comes into our circle of influence, then we're supposed to use it to serve Him. The Divrei Chaim never turned away a dish. So he ate very little. He ate one spoon. So towards the end of his life, when he was, you know, he stopped eating, so the Rebbetzin made 20-25 dishes for each meal. And he ended up eating because, you know, he never turned away a dish because he understood the Kol Mashabara, that everything the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created, he created for his honor. It's part of my Avodah. He fed dish every day with his Talmid. Now, so Vehenei Mechidus Oisiyus Adibra, what we are talking about, what gives it its existence is the Oisiyus Adibra Ma'asor Ma'amore, Shebehem Nivru, through which they were created. Well, Zen Nehmer about this, it says, V'ata Mechayas Kulam, Yu Rebbeinu Shel Olam, give life to all of them. And we learn, Al Tikre Mechaya, it should not be read on. I got to figure out how to turn off this ringer. It should not. I can't, because then I'm going to hack off the guys. Al tikre mechaya ela mahava. Do not read it mechaya ela mahava, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is bringing it into existence right now. Please use the cell phone. I'm giving the shiur and it's very disruptive. Can you call mommy's cell phone, please? Okay, connect and shalom. You got to try back in 20 minutes. Ella, so don't read it about the Mechayas Kilim. Ella, Tikre Mehave. Now, what's the difference between Mechay and Mehave? To be Mechayas something means to sustain it. To be Mehave something means to create it. Dehainu, that is to say, Yesh Mi'ayin. That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is creating it right now anew. Now, if we really saw ourselves as, forget about everything else in the world, but me, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created me right now. I'm a new being. Well, that's a whole different existence. What's Va'ata? Va'ata, you said, is Mahave. You are Mahave. And Pchinis Ha'osius, this refers to the letters Me Aleph Va'ad Tov. This refers to the letters from Ve'ata is Aleph through Tov. And the final letter of Va'ata is the He, right? Ve'hei Metzoyes HaPeh, that's the five tools of speech. Mekoyer Ha'osius, the source of letters. Hello? Really? By a human being, you could say that we have five tools of speech. We're talking here about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's speech. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam has Hei Metzoyes HaPeh. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam has five tools. By a human being, you have the teeth, the tongue, the lips, the roof of the mouth, and the throat. Even though the Rebbeinu Shel Olam does not have any bodily image, but Hare Mikrim Molid Dibra Kosef. What are you going to do with the fact that the Torah explicitly says, Vayidaber Hashem, Vayomer Hashem? It says, God speaks. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is giving it to us in a way that we can understand it, that we can grasp it. This is the revelation of the 22 letters, albeit that our letters and Hashem's letters are very different in nature. Linevim, those letters that he revealed to the prophets. Umislabshes besichlam vahasagosam. Interestingly, he goes into it. I don't know why this is necessary here, but he goes into an explanation of prophecy. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals a message to a Navi, he reveals it to him in the form of words and letters. You ever wondered how prophets see things? So it's not cartoons. It comes to them in this image and in their thoughts and in their speech, dafke in the form of speech. With the emphasis on speech. His words were on my tongue. And similar to this is the way the Ribbono Shel Olam reveals the concept to Nevi'im in the forms of letters and words. So too is how the Ribbono Shel Olam is Malbish, embodies these letters, Bibruim, in the creations himself. So here's a new chiddush. The slapshes of the letters are in the bruim, meaning that if we knew how to look at water, we would see mem yud mem. It's nislabish in the bria. It's nislabish in each creation are the letters. Kedechsiv bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu ubruach piv kol tzivon. Rak, we must understand, shehi al yidei yishtal shel dizrabeis v'atzumais, that it goes through many, many transformations, many links in the chain, ad sheyodas la'asiya gofnis, until it comes down to a physical reality. Ma she'enken asogas ha'neviim. So when we see water, we're seeing it in its physical manifestations. But when the Nevi'im saw, and depending on the level of the Navi, he saw it, Hibatzilus, Hamislabeshes by the Mabriya, he saw it in the world of Atzilus as it was embodied in the world of Bria. So if you understand that, then you shouldn't be coming here. Bottom line is this mashal that he uses, the Kal V'chomer from Kriyas Yamsuf, where he takes an example of a yesh miyesh. The Rebbe Shlom used something that already existed, and nonetheless, in order to keep it in place, it required an ongoing tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Ruach Azah, to keep it in place. And the minute the Rebbe Shlom removed that nature-changing aspect of water, that water is no longer going to stand, but the water is going to come down, it all came crashing down. Is how much more so existence itself, which is a total chiddush, how much more so that requires an ongoing tzivoy. The other example that they give very often in the Lubavitch Pirushim are, you take something and you throw it up. Yeah, you take a rock. So, gravity is working against you. How long will it continue to go up? It'll only continue to go up as long when the power of your energy is winning over the natural power of gravity that's going to pull it down. The minute your koyach expires, gravity takes over and it comes crashing down. Right? Again, so what's happening? The nature is for things to head towards Earth. You go ahead and you overrule it and you use something, it is only going to last as long as that koyach still continues to exist. So when it comes to Brias Yesh Me'ayin, where everything is against nature, because nature, it's hard to use that term nature, but nature of existence is non-existence. The Chiddush is that the Rebbe Shlom is creating something. So it will continue to exist as long as that Yitzira, as long as that Bria is coming forth from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The minute that that stops to, the Rebbe Shem stops saying it, Chas V'Shalom, that's it. Then nature takes over. Nature is non-existence. And from this, and now he's going to continue, obviously, with this Yisoid. I have such neat notes here on the margin. I wonder what they mean. I got to look up Hechel B'Hashem Tov Chelik Vav.
I have it.
He writes here that there's an explanation of this Yisoid from Rabbi Yael Kahn. I got to look it up. So take a look, Chelik Vav.
I think I sent you the PDF.
On this one? Anyway, so this is the Yisoid that he brings out here. And again, I found this mashal from Kriyas Yamsuf. To me, it was very exciting because he used an example where the Rebbe Shlom took something and brought to it a novel, not a novel creation, but a change of nature. But even that change of nature of water, the minute it ceased to exist, that gzera stopped. And water returns to being water. You know where else you have that? You have that with that mashal the Rambam brings with the cat.
Yeah.
With the they challenged him that the cat could be a waiter, and the minute he brought in a mouse, so the cat reverted back to its nature. All right, we'll take it up from here. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, next week it might be over the phone. All right, fellas.